The Rush Hour.
Forget having to switch between apps. Now you can keep track of your same game multi live, all in one place. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. The Rush!
So no producer Luke for the podcast today, but he can hear us, which is weird. So if we talk shit about him, he knows.
Yep.
Elliot, what is the quota on how many hours you will do at something before you just like straight up leave?
What do you mean? As in like trying to learn something new or?
So we've got like a class tomorrow.
Right.
How many hours max?
What kind of class?
A birthing antenatal.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go.
So we have to, I didn't realise. They said, oh, yeah, just be there at 8 a.m. I was like, cool. I looked at the calendar event, and I haven't told Alex this yet. It goes from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m.
No. A full day?
A full freaking day. Lunch is included. But yeah, 8 a.m.
What are they
4.
Teaching you? How to push? It can't be that
like
hard.
Breastfeeding, all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, again.
But even that for me, I'm like, oh.
Just
like
squish your buzz. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, pop the milk out.
Can we fly through it?
It can't be that hard.
If they start doing like, anyone have questions after everyone? I'm gonna start doing what you do on the show where I'm like, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Because I did a training for the Pajama Foundation recently, and that was 10 till 1, and I was like, I'm so tired by the end of it. This is 8 till 4.
There's someone that's there that can just take minutes, like we have at our local footy meetings. If you can't make the meeting, just send the minutes through. And a lot of minutes in 8 hours, but
it's bad for me, but like, can you imagine Alex? I haven't even told him how long it's going to be. He's going to absolutely kill me.
And he's going to miss the start of the footy tomorrow,
I know.
Too. Oh, wow.
Because the footy's at 3.
So how long does he think it's going for? Does he know he's going?
I said there was lunch included, so he knows it's around lunch.
Yeah, it's just a little bit past lunchtime.
8 a.m.
That's ridiculous. That's a whole day at school.
But then I did speak to another friend and she was like, oh, that's good because otherwise you have to do like 5 classes, but they've just congested into 1.
Why do you have to do classes? Like, why can't you just ask your mum what she did?
We can, but like,
like, do you legally have to do classes?
No.
Does it cost money?
Really? Everything costs money.
That's ridiculous. That should be free, you think.
But it's my first kid. I'll do it for the first kid.
Yeah. Are you going to have another kid?
Maybe.
Oh, for God's sake.
I've already told you about this.
No,
I want
but
two.
You are. I mean, you don't, though. This has been hard. Think of how sore your wrists have been.
Yeah, but then it's you weird because some people
you
don't
every
have
time
the same
you do
one.
Something, you got to think, how does it affect me? And every time you take time off, we get a fill in. It's annoying. You know what I mean?
But you know what the problem is?
You.
No. So apparently when you give birth, you forget everything that happened before. Because my freaking mum rang
me. You forget everything now.
I know, but you forget, like, you only look back on it positively. So my mum suggested we do a yoga retreat the week before I give birth. And I was like, Mum, that's definitely not something I can do. And she was like, nah, birth's really easy. And apparently it's a psychological thing. Women, because it's so horrible, they black out how bad it was and are like, no, it's fine. So that'll be me. I'll have given birth and then I'll be like, I didn't have carpal tunnel. I wasn't puffy.
I didn't
breathe through my mouth the whole time.
Honestly, there's so many times pre-show because we sit in silence till we're leading up. I have to check over to make
I'm
sure
so
you're okay.
I'm so embarrassed by it.
Well, I mean, it's part of, you know, having a baby in your guts.
Yeah, I'm so congested. Blah. Anyway. Yeah. Whatever, Alex is stuffed.
So just don't. I wouldn't mind doing a yoga retreat. I was thinking about that the other day.
I've done one before.
I poo-pooed it, but, you know.
We did Camp Eden down in, like, the Gold Coast hinterland.
Isn't that a horror movie?
No, it's a health retreat.
Oh, right.
It's great. You go for, like, a week. You don't need any sugar or alcohol. They feed you, like, really healthy crap, and then you can do classes all day and, like, go and have, like, New Zealand mud baths.
See, I'm not worried about people feeding me healthy because I can do that at home, but I like the idea of going somewhere quiet.
Yeah, and you learn how to, like, cook the nice meals and stuff.
Oh, I don't want to cook. No, not
but you
doing
get
that.
To pick everything, so you can just sleep all day.
I want to go to a yoga retreat where they do a yoga class at, say, 7 a.m. and I can sit in the pool the rest of the day.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want at this thing.
No, I think I just want a Fiji holiday.
True.
Yeah.
You just want to have pina coladas by the beach.
I like Fiji Gold. It's basically 4X Gold, but I think they just ripped it off completely. It's very good.
I haven't had Fiji Gold.
You hear about Fiji time? If you're in Fiji,
everything's late.
You order 2 beers at a time because you know that it's probably going to take half an hour to get to you.
Bulla.
Great country.
Are you going to Fiji at the end of the year?
Samoa.
You decided? So you booked it?
We haven't booked it, but we're doing it.
That's exciting.
Doing Samoa.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Never been. I think
I
I'm going
to
do.
Let me know how it is because I've always been interested.
Well, Beck from work, her husband, Clarence, he's a Samoan.
Yeah.
And he's a chief in his little village. He went over for the full thing recently.
Well, you're a president of a rugby league club.
Basically the same thing.
Are you going to go over there and start scouting talent?
That's a great idea. The amount of amazing Samoans, you're right, that are in the competition at the moment. Yes.
So you're just going to go to little game, like you're going to go for the holiday and then go to one game and be like, hey, kid, you. Do you want to join South Brothers Townsville?
I think that's weird if I corner one kid, but we'll work out a situation, yeah. Anyway, we're going to go. The radio show today, normally Luke could tell you what was on it. All you really need to know is that we're searching for Queensland's most talented region and we'll need your help even post-podcasts. We'll talk to you soon.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Queensland, zero or hero.
Every week.
Stop getting mad at it. Do something about it.
No, and it is my fault. Every week I forget that opener exists and it plays on a Friday, and our boss, who okayed that, decided it was a good idea to put a fart
in. He normally hates farts in things.
Well, he doesn't listen to the show anymore anyway. True, he moved away and hates us. So every single week, AB, we ask you to do a little bit of homework on a Friday. You celebrate the most legendary Queenslander of the week, someone that's gone above and beyond in the world of awesome, but also the antithesis of that, a horrible human being that has just been absolutely dreadful. That's your zero.
Yeah, this week is a pretty bad one. And look, I don't want to say that all real estate agents suck, but this one is definitely letting the team down.
Yep.
Now, this person, I'm not going to name them because I think she's had enough press over the last week, but she's from Mackay and she posted a series of photos to her Facebook account with the caption, "Tell me how you would market this," with a bunch of laughing emojis. And it was a picture of a tent pitched in the middle of a park by someone who's obviously homeless.
Right.
And naturally, people have come to her comment section and said, this is like really mean. You're basically mocking a homeless person. And then she deleted it and doubled down and said, oh, I pay heaps of taxes. I build houses for the homeless. Blah, blah, blah. I shouldn't have to apologize for this. If in 2024, with the housing crisis, that isn't just affecting like homeless people, it's also, you know, families are being unable to get rentals.
I've been knocked back from rentals the last 2 years. Everyone gets affected.
People are living in tents everywhere. This isn't funny. It's not a joke.
Nah.
And don't, like, if you're going to go and try and poke fun or
and
show exposure to this.
Agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, read the room.
And she did not apologise. I think she's had a lot of bad reviews on her website accordingly. And as I said, we're not going to name her, but if you are listening.
Why aren't we naming it?
Because I don't like the double down.
But we have
to. It's all over
down.
The media.
This is what we're doing right now.
Okay, it rhymes with Smanya Smageri.
Okay.
Anyway, if you are listening, please self-reflect.
Yep.
I think particularly because we're getting into winter too, it's pretty scary that there are families, young kids sleeping in tents across this state. Now, our hero is so much further on the other side of things. This is absolute legend territory. A dedicated healthcare advocate. She has been working for years helping people die with dignity, and she's been named, rightly so, the 2024 Royal Flying Doctor Service Queensland Hero. Those awards were presented by Ergon Energy Retail.
Mm.
And her name is Jodie Hamilton.
Shout out to you, Jodes.
Jodie also spoke about how her mum had worked in the region as well. She was born sort of further north up in the Cape York region, and her mum, Barbara Shepherd, was also a nurse who dedicated 50 years to caring for others. So runs in the family, hero families like that, making sure that regional Queenslanders are taken care of. And we love the Royal Flying Doctor Service. That is something unbeatable that we can never, ever, ever, ever allow to be defunded. So Queensland's hero and zero for this week. I don't think this is a hard question on 133353. What is the most talented region in Queensland? Because we have discovered, obviously with State of Origin in the last few weeks, Elliot, a lot of legendary athletes are from the regions. In fact, majority of that team are from regional Queensland.
As it should be.
But where is the hub that's producing the most talent?
And you don't just mean sport, you mean all kinds
across
of things?
Across the board.
Right, okay.
Where there's something in the water, something in the air,
okay.
This place is just building talent.
Yeah.
And I have my suggestion. I think this one takes the cake without a doubt.
Right, okay.
Mount Isa region. Now, this isn't a big population, but this place alone has got a billboard showcasing some of the talent that they've produced.
Yeah.
Simon Black of Brisbane Lions fame, Charlie Cameron, Lindy Chamberlain was from there for something a little bit different.
Mm.
Cohen Hess from the Cowboys.
Yep.
Deborah Mailman the actress, Greg Norman, Kaylin Ponga, Scott Prince, Pat Rafter, Carl Webb. I could go on.
A few contentious ones there. You know, I think Ponga's from, you know, New Zealand and
I think
WA.
Ponga gets argued as a lot of different places.
Cohen Hess is from Bundy. But
someone's put him on the Wikipedia, so good for them.
So 133353, you want to find the place that's produced the most talent.
Everyone will fight for their region.
Yeah, so they
They'll
should.
Say, no, stuff my eyes are.
I mean, I'm saying stuff eyes are today because I truly, and I'll die on this hill, I truly believe it's the beautiful little town of 13,000 people in the southeast corner of Dalby.
Yeah, you know, you aren't wrong, actually. Dalby is up there.
Do you want a few of the names from Dalby?
Please, fire them off.
The great Peter Beattie. My favourite Aussie female act, Kate Miller-Heidke. Is from Dalby. She's a Dalby girl. You love your footballers. Your Aaron Payne from the Cowboys. He's a Dalby boy. Yep. Bo Furmore now at the Titans. He's a Dalby boy. Carl Rackerman, the great Aussie cricketer. He's a Dalby boy. And it's such a tiny pocket to produce all that talent. I mean, come on.
Yeah, these are like lists as long as Brisbane and stuff. In regional towns, producing the most talent in Queensland. But where is number one?
Yeah.
The most talented region in this state? I want to crown it today. 133353 is the number. Call in. Tell us about your region. Name some names. Bring your receipts. We're going to Rocky Ron. I imagine you're nominating Central Queensland. Why is that?
Dave Taylor. Jason Hetherington, Harry Grant, Cam Munster, Anna Mears, Kerry Mears, Kenrick Tucker, Scotty Minto, and I think you'll find even Anthony Seabolt from Rocky as well, I think.
That's a good point.
It's true. That school out there, St. Brendan's at Yeppoon, that just produces rugby league talent left, right and centre.
Well, that's not Rockhampton, that's Yeppoon.
CQ, though, he said.
I think he's locking in Rocky. They're all Rocky heads.
Yeah, well, they're all born in Rocky.
We can't say CQ because that's the region. Then we just say NQ or SEQ.
Okay,
that's true.
Let's narrow it down to Rocky specifically. Yep. We're going to Granville. Jason, you possibly agree with me about Mount Isa.
Definitely, 100%. I was born in Mount Isa, and I know there's so many famous people born in Mount Isa. There's too many to list, but me and my whole family were born there, all my siblings, and it was all the Duke family. We were the legends, mate.
So,
where are you on the Wikipedia?
Yeah, what is it about the Isa, do you think, Jason? Again, as AB said, only 18K.
It's the weather, the humidity, it's everything that when you're born there, you've got superpowers. I feel it in my bones. No word of a lie. Me and my family have got superpowers.
Oh, that's
Jason, we've got to add you to the Wikipedia, I think.
Serious. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay. I believe you, Jase. I do. I'm still voting Dalby. I'm dying on that hill, but it's a good suggestion. Now, Karen joins us. We had Ron earlier, Karen, that is dead set, thinks it's Rocky. You agree?
I do.
Why Rocky?
Denver. Denver Baker for Australian Idol. We have Tamika Upton.
Oh, yes.
We got Cameron Munster. We got Mark Knowles, Jamie Dwyer, Matt Gertis, we've got Kemi Tucker, Byron Tucker, and I didn't have time to look for any more, but there's heaps.
That is an impressive list.
I'm just spitballing here. Are the boys from Busby Maru from Rocky?
Boys from Busby Maru, yes.
Maybe it's the beef in Rocky.
It's a good pocket. I love that we led with an Australian Idol person, which, with respect, I'm sure is a great human being. I've never heard of that name.
But I forgot Tamika Upton, and she's the goat of women's rugby league.
Well, no, she's not yet, but one day.
She is in my eyes.
Yeah, Ali Brigginshaw. Anyway, we digress.
Tamika's at the top.
Far out. 133353. What is the most talented region? We'll carry this over the weekend to chuck something in socials. It's Dalby. Of respect to Rocky, but it's a bigger pocket. Dalby's 13,000 people.
Mount Isa's got a really big range of Pat Rafter.
He's great.
The Shark.
Margot Robbie. She's in the Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay, all right. Go on to your local Triple M Facebook. Comment on there. Continue the debate. We'll make a decision next week.
Men's Health Week, of course. We've spoken to a number of people so far this week in different facets, but a big one that comes up, and as it should, is the conversation around mental health.
Mm.
The stats are damning when it comes to our blokes. It's 75% of suicides are male in Queensland and in Australia. It's It's crazy. There's an organisation doing great work in this space, Top Blokes. Their website's topblokes.org.au. Our guest today, you'd know him from the footy fields. He's one of my favourite halves of all time. He's a tough bugger. He's won premierships. He's at the Gold Coast Titans now. Kieran Foran, hello, mate.
G'day, guys.
Foz, really appreciate your time. And for those that don't know the story, you lost your beautiful stepson in November of last year to mental illness. Logan, tell us about carrying on his legacy and why you've jumped on board with Top Blokes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, through the tragic suicide of Logan last year, that's absolutely rocked the family. You know, we not long after it, you know, really wanted to make a difference in the space. It was important from the family's perspectives, and you know, we didn't want other people to have to go through this and suffer the same amount of pain. You know, watching what my wife's going through at the moment is just you know, words can't describe the pain that she's in each day. So it was important from our point of view that we continued on Logan's legacy first and foremost, but then secondly, got in touch with a charity that we thought would be most suitable in sort of making a difference. And Top Blokes was the one from our point of view that stood out. You know, they're at the coal face of it all. They're on the ground. They're in the schools. They're in the communities. And you know, they're really at the face of it, trying to make a difference to sort of shaping and moulding these young men's lives moving forward.
Now, you had a really, really fantastic sit-down. I highly recommend everyone has a watch of it. It's on the Gold Coast Titans website with Mick Fanning and Joel Parkinson, because Logan was an up-and-coming surfer. There were some really great topics covered in that, Foz, one of which was, you know, people like yourself and Logan and Mick and Joel in these, like, high-profile, high-performance positions and how much more pressure there can be on you. What are your biggest takeaways from speaking to those guys in particular?
Yeah, look, that was a really insightful chat, and really grateful for those guys for giving up their time and sitting down and having an open and honest conversation with myself around, you know, our own mental health journeys and as you spoke about, you know, the pressure situations and in being involved in sport and such. So, yeah, look, I think at the end of it, you know, when you break it all down, we're all human beings, and you know, a lot of us are young men or young people aspiring to achieve, you know, our dreams and aspirations, and you know, we're putting everything into it. And at the end of the day, you know, we may suffer setbacks. We go through, you know, losses and things like that that can really, I guess, have an impact on how we feel at the time. And I think for us, it was about sitting down and sort of opening up that discussion of who do you turn to during those times when you are suffering and you are struggling in your own head. You know, who do you reach out to and things like that. And, you know, it's important that we open up that discussion and we actually, you know, normalise it. We don't want young people sitting in their heads and their thoughts drifting off and sort of taking them into dark places where they feel that there's actually no other option but to end their life. And, you know, it's got to be spoken about as hard as it is. We just don't want people ending their life because they don't know who to reach out to.
If I was in 2011, I lost one of my best friends in the world to suicide, and having someone so close to you as you've had as well, you ask a lot of questions. You ask the why. You ask what more could I have done. I know in this video you talk about how you checked in with Logan in the previous months because you thought he might be down. You say, are you okay? They wear the mask. Yep. They say they are. Is there anything more we can be doing? Because, and I'm not taking away from are you okay days. They're all special, but that doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't, mate. And as you spoke about, you know, when you go through an experience like that, you certainly, you know, live the rest of your life asking questions of what you could have done differently and how you could have prevented it from happening. But I think you're bang on when you say that there's not enough being done around how we truly prevent it. And I've spoken about it and touched on it in a few sort of chats I've had with people over the last few months. At the end of the day, there needs to be a message spread that committing suicide is not the answer. It doesn't solve your problems. It doesn't fix what's going on. And at the end of the day, we know that when we're sane and when we're logical in our minds, but someone who's suffering, you know, extreme stresses or mental health disorders and things like that can't reason with themselves in that space. And, you know, it's just really important that the message is spread that suicide is never the answer in those times. There's actually ways out. There's pathways to a better life, a better future. And if we can get that message out there, then, you know, hopefully we can prevent these, you know, tragic circumstances from happening.
Now, Foz, you've been so open about your own mental health struggles in the past. This has been a lot for you and your family the last few months. How are you coping, and who's around you that's supporting you?
Yeah, look, it's been huge, and you know, I've been really open with my own mental health struggles, and I've spoken about my own suicide attempt in 2016, and you know, the fact that I did want out back then, and you know, I'm grateful every single day that I stand on this earth and I'm able to have a second shot at life and actually make something of this beautiful life that we get given. But you know, going through what I've gone through recently with Logan has just, there's just nothing that can sort of put it into words about just how much it affects your loved ones around you. And I've watched none more than my wife's life completely change, and it'll never be normalized again. And you know, Logan's grandparents and his father and his brothers and sisters and everyone that was involved in him, just their entire worlds be completely and utterly transformed. And, you know, it just, yeah, it's just broken me inside, really. It's something that we continue to work through every single day, and we'll navigate our way out of it and actually, you know, make sure that we do get through it for the remainder of our lives. But yeah, you can just see the effect that it's had, and just how much it really does change those lives around you.
Well, via topblokes.org.au, you can learn more about Logan's legacy. You can also donate to the Top Blokes cause via there as well. And a reminder, if you or someone is struggling, Lifeline, the number 13 11 14. There's also a support tab on the Top Blokes website. Foz, loved watching your career for almost 15 years now, but hearing you open up like that, knowing what your family's gone through, mate, I can't help but admire you just a little bit more. Appreciate your time on the Rush Hour today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
This is Animal Fiction with Jamie Seymour.
Our expert in all things animal life out of James Cook University, Professor Jamie Seymour. I know you're scouring the earth for the most interesting in the animal world, but AB's got something for you this week.
I saw it pop up the other day. Apparently there's a lot of outrage about this cassowary bridge that they built in the north specifically to try and guide cassowaries across the road safely, because they say the community is losing around $10 million in the first 3 months of this year because 10 cassowaries were run over by vehicles. I mean, they do this for koalas. Do you think they work, these bridges over highways?
This is a point of contention with myself and my lovely wife.
It always is for you. It's always a contentious issue.
Going, this is a lovely bridge. What's it there for? I'm going, this is for cassowaries. And she looks at me and goes, are you serious? I'm going, that's what it's been built for. Look, do they work? Theoretically, they should. Do the cassowaries use them? I doubt it. To be honest, I can think of better ways. I mean, because we've got those possum bridges as well up there, you know, where they have, and the possums are supposed to walk across the little bridge.
Do they work?
Possums use them. Have they decreased the number of possums being run over by cars? I'm not convinced. I think one of these things that, you know, we've done something so we feel good, but I'm not sure that the money that was spent, because I have no idea what it cost, but it wouldn't have been cheap.
Said they went $20 million over budget. So I don't even know what the original cost was, but it was over budget by $20
million. See, I'd have said, well, let's take that $20 million and then we went over budget and put together a breeding program, breed cassowaries and re-release them.
Ah. You could
bred a truckload of cassowaries for $20 million. That's just what they went over budget on. Jesus.
So you're saying this is just an icing. Is this the equivalent of, like, if something horrible is happening in the world and someone posts on social media about how sorry they are to see it happen, it's basically the same thing?
My gut feeling, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't seen any hard data to show that it's a positive effect. I mean, it's a feel-good thing. Yes, it's there. And yeah, if the cassowary's there, it'll take a run over the other side.
Yep.
I can think of far better ways to spend our money to save cassowaries.
I will say, whenever I do those Instagram stories, because I know that was an attack on me,
it wasn't.
It doesn't
it was
cost $20 million.
It was for everyone. It's you know, when something horrible happens overseas and someone's like, oh, thinking of them. Okay, but what are you doing?
Yeah, but it doesn't cost $20 million over budget for me to do that. It is free.
Big, it spent $5 to help those people. Anyway, Professor Jamie Seymour, we digress. Have a lovely weekend, mate. We always appreciate your time on the Rush Hour.
No worries, guys. You have a good one. Rush Hour!
I want to set this up by saying I don't think I'm by any means a big deal. I'm not trying to insinuate that I'm some kind of influencer by any means, because I know you're going to rip this apart when I tell you it.
Right. You do always tell me how many views you've had on TikTok and that kind of thing, though.
When I had like 5 million on one.
But exactly. Like, I feel like you wouldn't say that unless you think you're a big deal.
I definitely don't. That was a fluke.
Right.
And it was my dog and not me. So therefore, they don't even like me. They like my dog more.
Right.
But I'm talking specifically about Instagram. Okay. And I have a very small amount of followers on Instagram.
Right.
And sometimes when people get a bit bigger on Instagram and other social media platforms, they'll get emails from people who want to do collabs.
Oh, yeah.
Collaborations.
Yep.
I don't get any of those emails besides one that consistently comes into my inbox from one company who just will simply not give up, who want me to be the face of Elliot Lovejoy. Adult toys.
Oh.
Consistently. So this has been going for a number of years. They emailed me probably 4 or 5 years ago. Said, hey, Annabelle, we reckon you'd align really well with our brand. And I responded because I thought, oh, they've taken, you know, like they made comments about the work I do and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I really respect that you've, you know, done your research and whatever. I just don't think it's for me.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of like my family on my social media.
Yeah.
I know some women that do this and I'm really impressed by them. I think it's incredible. It's a great product to sell, but it's just not me. I'm not going to go from doing stuff on this show and footy and whatever and then be like, hey, adult sex toys.
Yeah, buy yourself a 12-inch Tommy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the time, 4 years ago, they said, no worries.
Okay.
2 years later, they checked in again.
Okay.
Have your circumstances changed? Would you be interested? We can send you this, this, and this, and this. This is how much we'd pay you.
Yeah.
We think you'd be a really great fit.
Well, did they tell you why you'd be a great fit? No.
Just we think that your audience would like it.
I'm sure half of them would.
I don't know if my mother-in-law would.
Well, I'm sure she does. No, I won't go there.
Yeah. So I, once again, politely declined. They've come again. And I'm like, couldn't this be the worst possible time?
Yeah.
That, like, I'm up the duff, very old, like, married, boring.
Yeah.
And they're having another crack. And they're offering good money, but I just can't do it.
I'll do it.
Okay, all right, I'll pass on your email then. It is for women.
I'd do anything for cash. My moral compass is nowhere.
Sweet.
Money are we talking?
They'll stop bothering me if I refer you.
Yeah. How much? Like, is it per? Do you have to post a certain amount?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
So one post, how much money?
So product and $1,500 per post.
What? What are you doing?
Try to not make my mother-in-law hate me. It's pretty simple.
Her. Stuff your mother-in-law. She's not even worth $1,500. AB, that pays for a stroller. That's 6 months of baby food.
Bold of you to assume that pays for a prab.
Dead set.
I'd have 15, to do years of it.
How many posts do they want you to do? I'll do
these
posts.
They didn't say. This was just one off.
I'll sign my partner up to this. I'll sign my mother up to this. I don't care. It's $1,500. You know me.
Refer you and ask for a finder's fee. Settled.
I take money from Saudi Arabia and Gulf. I take money from the dirtiest of the dirtiest.
They're not unethical. They're great.
Exactly
it's
right.
Not
oh,
for
you
me.
Want me to sell a big pink thing that vibrates? Sure, it's great. It's the best one I've used. Here's $1,500.
Well, we got somewhere.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
So straight after this, you are going to hear the Cowboys and the Raiders live. Now, if you're south of Central Queensland, you get the national call team. Boring. Central Queensland north, you will get the Cowboys call team with Wade Chiesa. I'll be in that. And I mean, the glue that holds all together, the great Ray Thompson. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Mate, so good to have you.
It's been a while. It's good to be back.
Why don't we get him on more? He's great.
No, he's like a gap filler. You know what I mean?
No. A
couple of games for the Cowboys, one or two for the Cormals.
Hey, gap fillers are very reliable.
You're our gap filler, and you are reliable. Cowboys Raiders straight after this. A lot of Cowboys fans across the state are thinking, What side are we going to get tonight? Yeah. Ray, what do you think?
It's a four-point win, right? They've got the bye next week. Really important for the Cowboys that they respond after a really disappointing game last week against the Warriors. And it's been the story of their season. When you think that they're down and out, they come up with a win. Last week, 2 weeks ago against the Roosters, they had no chance. They had no right to win that game. Roosters had it all. They had the opportunity. They had the stars in, and the Cowboys stood up. So looking for a big response here. They understand the magnitude of this game. They've also, there's a bit of confidence and optimism in the fact that the Cowboys haven't had a bye yet.
Yeah.
Most teams have.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
100%.
And I'm not a Cowboys fan. You got the most Origin representatives out of any team, you haven't had a bye.
Yeah. And they've had a lot of their earlier games have been away. So they've got a strong run home. They've got 8 weeks in an 10 week period, in the back end of the year. They've got about 8 home games. So really, really big opportunity for the Cowboys here to sort of keep them in contention, but they've got a fair bit of work to put on in terms of their consistency.
How do you reckon they're going to go on the cold? Because I'm hearing reports it's about 6 degrees, and we're pretty soft as Queenslanders in general, but the Northerners, they get jackets on at 24.
Yeah, I know. I had a jacket on, I think, 15 or 16 here in Townsville. So, the weather is what the weather is. Like in Townsville, when it's an earlier game, we tend to cheer because we think it's an advantage for us. However, it's only an advantage if you're able to make it an advantage. And so the game plan doesn't change. The mindset has to be around just completing their sets and kicking well. The Raiders have a really good... I reckon they're one of the most underrated teams in the competition, if not the underrated team in the competition. They've got some absolute stars in their team. But where I think the Cowboys can really gain some advantage is the experience, particularly in the halves.
Well, 8 degrees, as AB said. Is there a game that stands out during your playing career? That was it a trip to Canberra that was the coldest? And what are the big differences?
Oh, it's definitely a mentality thing. We're Northerners. I'm a North Queensland kid through and through. So going into that heat, cold environment, it takes a lot more mental fortitude, so to speak, to just switch it off.
You hug a fat bloke.
It's extremely hard when your toes are numb, when it's stinging, you're catching the ball, the bombs are going up in the air, and not only is it hard to catch a bomb at the best times, but when it comes out and hits that skin, it just, I do not envy it.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it. But as a fan in the stand, sitting up here in North Queensland, they need to turn it on. The weather cannot dictate their mood.
Yeah, I remember moving there and crying when I woke up in the morning and it was -4.
It's the worst.
Hey, I would like to ask a little bit off field as well. I mean, obviously with your experience with the Kummels, PNG being touted for not the next team, but potentially the one after. How do you feel about that? Do you reckon it's a good call?
I do think there is an opportunity there. I do feel like with North Queensland and when where we're situated, we can probably do a better job at capturing some of that talent up there. I do worry about look, I'm not that far into the politics of it all, but from a political standpoint and from an infrastructure standpoint and from...
Players living in a gated community.
The country itself, there's a fair bit to work on in terms of that setup. However, you won't ever meet a more passionate fan base. They absolutely love rugby league, and if it was to go ahead, they would put it on like no other. They are a country that just absolutely love rugby league. They breathe it. It's a livelihood for them.
Yeah.
And so either way it goes, there's a couple of things where I think there are question marks, and players and the organisation, the game need to question that. But if it goes ahead, wow. What an opportunity.
All right, well, Ray Thompson, wish you Cowboys the best of luck tonight. We're going to cross that in just a second. Cowboys legend, I should say, Ray Thompson, Kummels legend, and the great gap filler on the Rush Hour. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Follow your multi the easy way this NRL season with Sportsbet's NRL Same Game Multi Tracker. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.